the first episode of Tech Ka Masala, and this is a brand new show from the IndieCast family, and we are going to be talking entirely about technology and how it affects us. We are going to be talking about internet, and joining me is Tilak from tech-buzz.net.
Hi Aditya.
Hey, as well we also have Anand online with us from techme.com, that is TECMEIN.com, right?
Hi Aditya, hello Tilak.
Yeah, so this is the first time you guys are podcasting, isn't it?
Yeah, this is my first time.
Well, let's see how it goes then. So what is happening at IndieCast is now, let me give a quick overview and why we are, you know, going into these different things is, we have been doing IndieCast for about 1.5 years now. It's time that we move into newer things, alright? So Abhishek had actually just recorded a business podcast with one of his friends.
Okay.
And I wanted to do a tech podcast. So, and then I went around hunting for, you know, who's interested, and you guys volunteered.
Yeah.
Well, that's, thanks a lot for joining me, for that matter, on a Sunday afternoon. Okay, what are you guys up to, by the way? A quick introduction, why don't you do, you know, quickly introduce yourselves. Let's start with the youngest guy, alright? The youngest guy on this podcast. 17 years old, you should be out hanging with your friends, playing outside. What are you doing on a tech podcast?
Actually, I was mad about technology ever since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
But I started blogging recently, just a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I was so happy. I talk with lots and lots of like-minded people.
Uh-huh.
So that's what pulled me into blogging.
Okay. But so you have been just blogging for a year, and you have quite a following now, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
What you have got something like 9,000 feed readers or something?
Not 9,000. It's just over 1,000.
Oh really?
That's actually the subscriptions, but the number of visitors he gets is much much higher.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Anand, what are you up to?
I am doing my MBA right now. And data part, I'm just always interested in technology and stuff. Blogging has been my passion, and I used to blog on internet business strategies.
Uh-huh.
And now I've recently come up with techmin.com.
But so is that a new venture, or are you going to still keep on writing about the same topics and your writing is going to be still
always,
tech?
Blogging is always going to be there. I mean, anytime I find something new, interesting strategy that comes up in internet, I'll always blog.
Okay.
Data part, these are some things which I think are more towards the user-generated content.
Uh-huh.
And there's one more venture that I'll be coming up. So these are some things that I want to be more on user-generated content rather than me always writing it.
Okay, so so what is TechMe about?
Actually, tech feeds are aggregator. In a sense that I go about looking over the blogosphere, looking for good technology blogs, including
uh-huh.
TechBuzz of Tilak. And I aggregate them, and it's kind of a live update. Every time some blog amongst them gets updated, it shows on TechMe.
Oh, so have you developed the system, or what is the system working on?
I actually outsourced it,
uh-huh.
because I do not code myself. So I just outsourced it, and I just manage the website.
Oh, so how much did you pay for it, Anand?
Did you put
all your savings into it?
It's not my savings. I just have a little money in PayPal and stuff through different ventures, and so I just managed out of it.
That's good.
My own.
Is it automated, or are you manually preparing stuff?
I have a database of all technology blogs. So I just,
something
that
like
is the only part which I include. I include all the RSS, URLs and stuff, and from then on, the website itself carries over it.
Oh, something like a tech meme style.
Yeah, same way.
Okay, let's get into the topics now. Now that we have introduced ourselves, and obviously, do I need to introduce myself? I am Aditya from theindicast.com. If you haven't yet heard IndieCast, you should probably go and check it out. Okay, I've been told that it's good. But let's move on. What's hot in the tech business from your point, Tilak?
Wikipedia started offering series filled with top-rated Wikipedia content.
Uh-huh.
and they're selling it somewhere around for $13.99.
Yeah, that's right. I read about this on CNET as well. So do you think I really had mixed opinions about this?
Yeah, I think $13.99 is somewhat pricey.
Uh-huh.
You get it anyways for free if you have a net connection.
Yeah, if you could afford an internet connection, you could always afford to go into online and check Wikipedia rather than paying $13.99.
Yeah, but here, when I went through the story, what they are saying is they are targeting the third world countries, okay, where people don't have internet connection. Or even in US, when you are traveling, or in India, when you are traveling, you might want to quickly refer to something. And that is the sort of a use case scenario that these guys are targeting. But again, the price point, I think, is very high here. One can get, I quickly did an Amazon search for Britannica series. And Britannica, we know, is a trusted source and has been there for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Those series cost about almost the same. So, I don't know what the real value proposition is here. They're just cashing in on the Wikipedia name, or what do you think about that?
But then again, you can download the CD from torrent platform and then burn it onto a CD.
Oh, is that so?
But I also heard that Wikipedia is coming up with a printed edition. So if that could be, I guess that will be much cheaper and that will be much more useful for a third world country rather than a CD.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
But then don't you think Wikipedia is sort of moving away from its core USP out here, you know? The advantage of Wikipedia is that it's being updated every time so that it never gets outdated. All right.
You should note this thing. It's only about 2,000 articles which the site mentions is a very well-written articles amongst all. So I think they are beyond correction from here on.
Okay.
So those are the articles that Wikipedia has been trying to put into CD.
But then again, why CD? Maybe they could put somewhere around 10,000 articles on a DVD. Why CD?
That's again interesting. Maybe just...
But DVD just costs
articles. Yeah, probably, yeah.
But then why not? How much space do you think, 2,000 articles will take?
It's hardly somewhere around 175 megabytes.
Yeah, exactly. Why do we need to put it out on a, 600 MB or a 700, 800 MB CD? Isn't there an alternative source, or do they think that a CD is the lowest common denominator right now? Is that why they are doing it?
Yeah, probably yes, because floppy drives are out of question right now. And so the next denomination that we come to is a CD.
Yeah.
So probably, and I guess this is also a test market. They might just test it, and if it doesn't work out, they might always revert back to the printed edition.
Yeah.
You know what?
Uh-huh.
I was Wikipedia. I would put that, I put the same content onto a mini CD. Have you seen that mini CD? The tiny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It looks really cute.
Now, will a standard laptop accept those CDs as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, because the inner core diameter is always the same, and so that is not a problem.
Ah, see, but I don't think it will work on a Mac, though, because I work on a Mac, and they don't have those trays that come out.
Okay.
You know, it has a slot where you have to push the CD in. And probably in that scenario, it might not work. I'm just,
saying. It works on a Mac.
Okay.
Yeah, it works on a Mac.
So that's cool, then. All right, so I need to do some more exploration work on my Mac, then. Okay, let's move on. What's, from your point of view, Anand, what do you think is happening there?
I just came across this article. You follow Digg, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, MySpace is coming up with a new venture. MySpace is coming up with its own news channel. Channel means a webpage for news aggregation. And it works pretty much like my own website segment, because you as a user submit your own favorite blogs, RSS feeds and stuff, and MySpace aggregates all of them onto its MySpace news page.
Do we submit stories or do we submit RSS feeds?
You submit RSS feeds, and every time there is a new update, it updates there.
Okay.
Yeah, it is pretty much like TechMeme.com, and there is one more interesting fact. It works pretty much like Digg as well. You can vote on your news articles, and news articles are rated based on that.
Yeah, that's what I noticed when I went onto the site. And one thing I have to admit is that I'm pretty much sick of all the websites that are coming up which are based on a voting model.
Yeah.
I think Digg did it when nobody did it, and now, you know, nobody else should try and make another Digg clone.
The problem is that once Digg was launched, then there came another website called Plig, which offers the open source for the Digg website.
Code. Yeah, it's a script, right?
So anybody can start a Digg-like website.
But do you like really follow Digg as such, or are you just casual browsers?
I follow Digg a lot.
I used to follow.
Okay.
Right now I don't.
So why? Well, what made you quit then?
It sent me somewhere around say 50 or 60 items per day. How am I supposed to read them?
But
there's one more point. Digg now has its own clout of people, and that's what my point is. And there are some people who, I mean, any news that they submit becomes the most popular news. And no matter a news, how much worry you think it is, it sometimes doesn't climb up the pages.
So now my
Digg has become a small cloud of it, has found a cloud of its own, and that is its main problem.
So you are saying a user, and you can add friends and all those things on Digg as well, right? So once a user submits that story, all his friends go and Digg that story and it gets pushed to the top.
Exactly.
Now that's...
They removed the top users page to avoid this thing. But it's still happening.
They pissed off a lot of users when they removed that thing, or they removed a feature, right?
Yeah. Because, but see, the top most popular users remain so. You know, Mr. Baby Man, these people are kind of an elite panel of their own. So nobody can beat them, and whenever the news that they submit, it always becomes popular.
I read somewhere that at any instance, 37% of the homepage is controlled by these users.
Yeah,
the so-called top users.
Oh my God.
So isn't that something which Digg must worry about?
Yes, there are a lot of Indian users for Digg. I personally come across many users from India on Digg website when I used to browse through.
Okay, so I'm
called Brijeshwar. He's a Digg top.
Yeah, he's a top.
So if I need to submit anything to Digg, I always go to him and ask for a submission.
Is that how you get all your traffic?
No. I stopped using Digg for now.
That's good. Moving on, from what I thought the hottest news in this week was about the Dell CEO getting a $5 million severance package. That's huge, right? I mean, people don't get paid that much for doing a job, and when you get fired, these people are getting that much money. So, just to give a quick background, the Dell CEO who was Kevin Rollins, and Dell went through some rough time with all their profits, etc. And Michael Dell had taken a back seat, and this and had given all the operative executive rights to Kevin Rollins. And this has sort of become a fad now in the tech industry, that founders usually retire or take a back seat and move the reins to someone else. But then I'm actually glad to see that Michael Dell is back, because I feel that a company does extremely well when the founders are in the company, because they know with the vision that they started the company with and how to operate it, etc.
Exactly.
But then I also read the other severance packages that people have received, and then I thought that this guy, Dell, got off web pretty cheap. For example, Home Depot CEO, Robert Nardelli, he received $210 million
cool.
as a severance package. Not bad, huh? Then former Pfizer CEO, Hank McKinnell, walked away with $200 million. Again, not too bad.
I would like to be a CEO just to get fired, man.
Yeah, I know, and this is probably the valuation of Rediff.com or something like that, or I'm just underestimating their value. But, the mantra seems to be become a CEO and get fired. Isn't it?
That's in itself a pretty cool business plan.
That's a good career path to be in.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, it does. But now that Dell is, once Michael Dell stepped in, he has sort of, I don't know if you guys follow a lot of Dell news, because I am sort of a Dell fan also. Okay.
Okay.
I hate HP, by the way, for apparent reason, but
I love HP.
Yeah, but exactly. But you know, I have no apparent reason why I hate HP.
Okay.
But their machines are just so bulky, and I'm referring to laptops here. Okay, their machines are so bulky. They have no sense of aesthetic value in them, and it just seems that they are putting out products just because their competitors are. But when it comes, you disagree.
Yeah, I own a HP Pavilion DV6137.
Okay.
And it looks quite beautiful. I had a Dell machine earlier.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The looks were not up to the mark, actually.
Exactly, man. Even here, I feel I have a Compaq, HP Compaq, and this model looks so cute compared to what my other friends have. Dell looks so like a...
Dell looks something like
box.
Just a box.
Oh, you really think so? Come on. I mean,
yeah. Dell have a good business plan. I mean, the way they work.
Yeah. Well, I seem to have been overpowered out here with the HP Compaq lovers. But, yeah, as I said, I have no apparent, you know, technical reason for hating HP.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's just something. I you know, long time back, I had read an article about how HP is going to crash and burn sooner or later, and probably that had just stuck in my mind, and that's why I'm just bashing them up. I have nothing against them, but as I was saying, Dell, now that Dell is back, they have started introducing Linux based machines, which was never done earlier.
Okay.
They are also offering XP compatible they are shipping machines with XP on it because of popular demand.
Okay.
Even when Vista is out, you know. Earlier, that has never happened. When XP was released after 98, all the manufacturers had stopped, you know, putting 98 on it and shipped everything with XP. Now, but that is not the case what is happening here. And I think Michael Dell is really good at reading what people want and just giving that to them.
Yeah, that's what we should really appreciate about Dell. I would really like to see competitors like HP and some other laptop manufacturing companies come up with sites like that IDEA. What's that?
Yeah, ideas for use. Ideas, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and that place is just basically requesting for features, right? If they get enough number of votes, again, enough number of people are asking for that feature, they just put it in.
But there are some features that cannot be implemented. That is the part of the Dell to take a call on it, but that about I feel taking a user's call is always a good thing.
Yes, laptops with the naked OS. I mean, there shouldn't be any OS. I already own a Windows XP, so can't I install that to my laptop? Can it be done or is it illegal?
No. I mean, once you buy it, you can do anything with it. You can just, you know, clean the disk up and then put Linux on it.
Yeah, that's true, but I'll still have to pay for Windows XP, right?
That's right.
In India, anything is legal, man.
No, but again, no. What his concern is that he doesn't want to pay for the operating system.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm using Ubuntu right now. Paying for Windows XP doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, that is true, but Windows has just occupied so much of our lives now.
These companies have a deal among themselves. So when you come with XP always comes along with it.
Yeah, it's
all part and parcel of the deal.
Yeah, but that's what they are breaking off from, right? By offering Linux machines.
Yeah.
I think they're moving in the right direction, but still, if you want to, how are you going to have all the features that Office 2000 has on a Linux machine? Have you guys checked out Office 2007?
Yeah.
Isn't that a sweet piece of software?
I didn't personally like it.
You didn't like it? Come on!
I mean, I was more comfortable with the older version.
I bet you hate the graphical user interface, don't you?
Yeah, this guy seems to be a command line person.
Yeah.
No, I just love 2007. And so, when I see what is... Now, on one hand, I'm going to have Windows with Office 2007. And on the other hand, I'm going to have OpenOffice on a Linux machine.
Okay.
You know, the user experience is just not the same. It's not the same at all, in fact. So that is what bothers me. Otherwise, everything seems...
it doesn't come cheap, right? You gotta pay for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Everything comes for a price. All right, moving on. GigaOm had a good story about eBay wanting to buy StumbleUpon.
Oh, that story was pretty good. I think Philip has more news on it.
Yeah. eBay acquiring StumbleUpon, it makes complete sense. Actually, they could add some StumbleUpon components to their existing Skype client. What do you say? Is that possible?
I mean, I don't see how... I fail to see the value that a eBay user will get out of StumbleUpon, except that he can just click on a button and go to a random product.
Yeah, exactly. Even I mean, if you compare this with Google's acquisitions, you see that Google always has an eye on advertising as its prima facie, and all the acquisitions come over it. So you know where the model is.
Right.
This acquisition, even I don't feel it has great value.
They'll do something and get it integrated with Skype. Maybe they'll rename StumbleUpon to something else. Who knows?
Yeah, but then
again, StumbleUpon is a money-making venture, right? It's a for-profit thing. It makes money.
So, yeah, but is eBay trying to shift its business? Is eBay trying to diversify into other business models?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because
Tilak, tell me this. How do you think StumbleUpon will help Skype?
Maybe they'll add the search box. Or maybe they'll...
So how does StumbleUpon work, you know, first of all?
It's very simple. You go to websites and pages, interesting pages, and you have those rating buttons, thumbs up and thumbs down.
Okay.
And depending upon the rate, people can get to visit that page. There is a button called Stumble. When you click on that button, you automatically take it to a most interesting page.
Okay.
So that's how it works, actually.
But then now, if you take that and put it into eBay's context or the Skype, toolbar, how do you think they are going to be able to leverage it?
StumbleUpon plus Skype makes complete sense. Skype already offers a toolbar, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Firefox and Internet Explorer. That's a bit incomplete.
Okay.
It doesn't have any functionalities. Maybe they want to integrate that with StumbleUpon toolbar and release an update. StumbleUpon already has a huge, huge, huge user base, right?
Yeah.
So they'll try to build something upon that.
I tell you, this is going to be one interesting story that we should keep covering here on.
Yeah, sure. We'll keep on following. Exactly. That is what we, another intention of this podcast is to keep on telling people on what is happening on a particular thing.
Yeah.
And we'll keep an eye. We have to keep an eye on this story.
Exactly.
Next thing that Anand wanted to talk is how the traditional media is getting scared of user-generated content.
Yes, man. After YouTube has come, and the other user-generated content websites have been surging up, I think media companies are now getting scary, because there was a survey done and almost 57% of the people feel that user-generated content is going to be one of their top three threats. And that apart, almost 68% of them want to venture into a user-generated content-based venture. Though 24% have no idea how they are going to make money out of it. But that explains the point. Everybody wants to be in there as soon as possible because they somehow figure it out that it's going to be a huge success in the future.
Yep.
It is a huge success even now, but those who aren't there in the business right now, they feel that it's going to be one of the money spinners later on.
But don't you think that, you see, user-generated content is just such a specialized niche now that this is my opinion, is that you just can't get up and say, UGC is big right now and I have to do something with it. And and so I just hire a couple of developers and get into it. It's not that easy, I feel, you know.
It is not as easy because now almost, you have to come up with some concept unique. Like, you can't now come up with a voting system as all the news websites have been coming up with, because you have Dig. You don't need another voting kind of a news-based website.
Right.
There are so many video websites. You don't need them because YouTube is already there. So there has to be some kind of a user-generated content website and a concept which is unique. And that takes time. And that is where the companies must be looking into.
In short,
you need to come up with something unique.
Yeah.
Something unique which users love.
Is that what these guys are scared of now? That, you know, for all this time, all these years, they have been producing content that they feel is going to be accepted by people. But now everything has reversed. You know, people are choosing what they want to watch.
Exactly.
And it's not as if, you know, at 9 o'clock, you just have so many options. Now, how many videos are there on YouTube? You can watch anything there, you know?
There are millions of videos being uploaded every day. So it is just kind of countless.
Exactly. So I think that is what is scaring these guys more than anything. That
See, Friends was so popular in the 1990s that nobody figured out that it is going to be here on. But that was because no user actually asked for a friend before it came up. But that's not the way user-generated content works. UGC works only on the principle of what the users feel is good that comes up.
Absolutely right. And that is tough for them to deal with now.
Exactly.
Let me tell you a short story. Yeah. I was watching a news report on a Virginia Tech shootout. Then they showed a video about the killer's manifesto.
Okay.
I powered off my TV and went to YouTube and searched that guy's name. I saw the whole video.
That is one of the most popular videos right now on YouTube. And his name is also on the top tags of Technorati.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and I also heard that, you know, media or authorities were not giving out information on who has, you know, died in that particular incident and who have escaped, etc. So what Virginia Tech people did was they quickly formed a group on Facebook.com, and everyone who was not involved in that incident just started posting messages out there so that other people knew that, okay, this guy is fine and nothing has happened to him. Parents were trying.
And one more thing was, even before, the authorities only said that it was an Asian. Still, people on the UGC network found out that there was one another East Asian guy called Wayne Chiang. He had posed himself with a gun and sword, and so they just figured out what this guy is a killer. And he had to come up with a statement that, oh, no, I am not the killer, I'm just another guy with a passion for guns.
Oh.
So this is how the UGC network works. It comes up with news and stuff even before anything is made, even form.
Exactly. Now, there is no way that news can be, you know, stifled or can be kept down, because once you put it out on Dig or Facebook or Orkut.
Yeah.
In this age of technology, you can't hide anything.
So, but that's good. So UGC is always coming up with, you know, different advantages to it. So let's see what the next one is going to be. In the meantime, Apple has announced that iPhone is probably going to be delayed. Well, are you guys waiting for it?
Yeah, I just watched one video of iPhone. Man, it's so damn cool. You should go for an iPhone. At least just use it once in a life. It's so damn cool, and but I heard that it's going to have some quality problems or sort.
Yeah, that's what these guys are saying. You know, people at Singular are saying that, people at the Taiwan manufacturing company are saying that it is having some quality issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, battery problems.
And let's see how it comes out of. Initially, it was going to be released on the first day of WWDC. That is Worldwide Developer Conference or Convention.
Okay. But still, you'll have to wait till the end of 2008 to get it here in India.
So, yeah, that is what sucks, you know? Being in India, none of the gadgets...
Like iPods, Google chat, Google.
Yeah,
I don't think it's worth the wait, man. I don't think it's worth the wait.
But it's...
It is not.
It's not... It sucks, you know. Products come out here after a year of being launched in the US, and we are talking about overnight deliveries that FedEx can do for us.
Exactly.
So it's not like they have to put it on a ship and wait for 3 months until the ship gets into India. So why the product delays? I don't understand.
So, and any idea what the price range of an iPhone is going to be?
It's 599, 699, 4GB and 8GB.
Okay.
Yeah, I just purchased a new Nokia N73. I'm pretty much happy with it right now. It's got a good 2 gig memory and an awesome camera, 3.2 megapixels.
I was thinking of an N73, but then it didn't have Wi-Fi, so I managed to buy a...
So what do you use? What do you use?
N80. Yeah.
What does it do?
It's pretty much the same, 3.15 megapixel camera, autofocus, and just a Nokia, typical Nokia N3 phone, whatever.
One thing that, again, I notice again and again with people is that people buy all these high-end phones and do nothing. They don't even use 2% of the features.
Yeah.
You know? Taking cap photos, my prime requirement was I want to be able to, I want a good-looking phone, a professional-looking phone, and it should have a good camera.
Things aren't required in India, at least for a high-end user. One is a phone as it is, one is a camera, and one is an FM. If you are in Bombay and if you're traveling by train.
I have noticed that a lot of people listen to FM on their cell phones.
Yeah.
But doesn't that drain your battery?
It does.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, exactly. So I fail to understand. But anyways, you know, people have their own things.
Well, it does look cool.
But I don't think they really, really love FM. They just do it for the sake of... maybe
plain time pass.
They have a phone, yeah.
So it's just plain time pass. Huh? That's don't overanalyze things. It's just time pass. That's it.
It's time pass, yeah. Got it. Time pass. Then we have folks who buy phones and sell it within 2 months, thinking that the phone is outdated.
Yeah. But what do you feel about that? I tend 2 months is too short of a time. But then. I buy a phone today and tomorrow I know there is N74, you know, and my phone has dropped its valuation about more than 50%.
Okay.
So, it sucks. Yeah. Well, on that note, let's let's end this podcast. This has been a very good talk and I wanted to do this tech podcast for a long time and finally we have managed to put one together. So, that's about it from Tech Ka Masala. Anand is available at techme.com as well as his blog cyberita.blogspot.com. And Tilak is always blogging on tech-buzz.net.
Okay, let me tell you a shortcut. Go to Google, search for Tilak, click on the first link.
Aha! That's another one. Okay, so that's about it. Catch up with you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.